Hi, listeners. You can now listen to this community podcast production ad-free on Apple Podcasts and access the podcast 1 week early and get exclusive bonus content. Just hit the subscribe button now on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want access to all of the above, plus video versions of the podcast, head to patreon.com/stopthekilling.
Stop the Killing is proud to be supported by our sponsor, Easy PA. Easy PA is an integrations-capable communication software that connects older building systems, such as signage and public address systems, to modern software technologies, such as panic alarms and mass communication systems. Go to easypa.com, that's E-Z-Y-P-A.com, to learn how to integrate your systems today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
I'm Sarah Ferris, true crime podcaster.
And I'm Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
And you're listening to Stop the Killing. Welcome back to Stop the Killing. This is part two of our interview that we did with Tara Newell, survivor of her stepfather, Dirty John Meehan, who you may know from the podcast Dirty John or the TV documentaries and the TV dramatization starring Eric Banner as Dirty John. Thank you to all those people who couldn't wait to hear part two and subscribed on Patreon or on Apple. We really appreciate your support. And for those who aren't listening to this back to back, here's a reminder of Tara's story.
I'm Tara Newell. I'm a survivor from Dirty John Meehan, who was my stepdad that my mom married, not knowing he was a psychopath. And unfortunately, he ended up coming after me in a parking garage and trying to kill me or unalive me. And he was unsuccessful in it. And I actually was able to get the knife from him and kill and stab him in self-defense.
We left Tara in the last episode driving home from work. So let's dive back into the story.
I arrive at my place. The gate's actually broken. And I look over and I see a guy fiddling with a tire iron in his trunk. My dog immediately starts barking aggressively at him. I tell my dog to knock it off because I thought it was just a homeless guy. And I pull into my space. I get out of my car, grab my dog, and that's when John grabbed me by the waist, looked me in the eyes, and said, "Do you remember me?" I looked up at him, and I immediately tried to run away from him, but I was unable to detach from him. That's when he started punching me, what I thought was punching me, and he tried to cover my mouth. I bit him as hard as I could, so he couldn't cover my mouth at all. After that, he didn't even try. But he just went to anger and he just started hitting me harder. I actually brought up my purse to protect my heart and some of my organs. And I had a leather clutch. And so when he was stabbing me, which I now know that was stabbing, he actually got me in the forearm right here once, and then he actually got me in the chest, but very slightly, because of my purse. And then at this time, we're kind of tossing around. I'm trying to still get away from him. And so I ended up falling on my back, and I fell on my shoulder, and my shoulder was very scraped up. And then my legs are up in the air. And so he is now on his knees. And at this time, I'm aware of that I'm actually in a knife fight because the knife was in a Del Taco bag before to conceal the knife. And now I see the knife. And so I also just came from the dog kennel too. So I'm wearing rain boots. And so I'm kicking him with rain boots and kicking his forearms as it's coming down onto me. And then I'm able to kick the forearm and the knife actually lands on my right hand side in the ice pick position. And my dog's also attacking his ankles at the same time. I pick up the knife and then I start just wailing on him. And at this time, I stab him in the back of his shoulders. But for me, I'm thinking I'm actually stabbing him in the front of his chest. I just disassociated that for a while. And then as he was falling down on me, I'm like holding his head. And then I stab him once in like the forehead right here and or like right here. And then the last one was in the eye because I know that's the softest point of the entry to the brain. And I watch a lot of Walking Dead. And so that was the last one. I pull out the knife and then I toss the knife away from his body and I scoot him away. I start just assessing the situation and I realize that I have a stab wound in my forearm. So I start applying pressure to that. That's when a lady showed up with her yellow lab and asked me, what can I do to help you? I said, can you please just grab my dog for me? So she grabs my dog and then this guy with dreads comes on a bike, starts asking me if I'm okay. What can I do to help you? I tell him that I'm fine.
Because I'm sure you were. Right.
Yeah.
If I could, I was like, I got this handled. Because, you know.
I got it handled.
Yeah. Like, he gives me something to put around my arm. I'm like, okay, I guess I should do that. And then I started applying pressure. And then this other girl who's a 14-year-old lifeguard, she comes up and she starts telling me, I'm Skylar. I'm trained in this type of situation. What's your name? How old are you? When's your birthday? And starts asking me these questions to get me out of my shock state, which is
nice.
Super.
Wow. And let's hear it for the 14-year-old lifeguard. Yay.
Yeah, 14.
Good for her.
Wow.
Did you worry that he was still alive?
Well, then one of the guys went to go give him CPR. I kept repeating out loud, that was my stepdad. He tried to kill me. That was my stepdad. He tried to kill me because I wanted to give people as little as information as possible, but enough where they understand the situation. Because I understand that if I'm like, oh, I stabbed and I killed him, they're going to look at that and be like, wait a sec, you know, and put me in a different bracket. Well, like I wasn't handcuffed or anything, but I was questioned. I was interrogated for hours before I even got medical treatment.
Wow.
So, you know, the guy went to give him CPR. I see that. I try to give him a warning, tell him, no, that guy might try to kill you. But I realize I have no control over that. So I need to do what's best for myself and I need to get away from him. So I walk down the hill and the girl, the lifeguard girl, walks me down the hill. And then I ask her to grab my phone or where's my phone? She goes and grabs my phone and I call my mom. I tell her, I'm so sorry. I think I killed your husband. I knew that he would do this. And she just was like, what? I'm just, what? And then I told her, like, I think I killed John. And then she's like, okay, where are you? And then just like, okay, I'm on my way. You know, the ambulance people, they wrapped up my arm, but they didn't like do anything. They just wrapped it up. And then they put an IV in me and I get to the hospital and they open it up. It slowed down bleeding. They let me stay there with an open wound for probably a couple hours. And they didn't check me out for anything else. They wanted to get the story from me before I was even checked out. Like fully medically. So they got the whole story from me from whenever I got there right after my attack to probably like 11:30, 11:20 at night. And I also asked them, I was like, where's my mom? And they told me that she went to the other hospital to be with John, and which what? Was not true. They told her that she needed to go identify him.
That and must have been very traumatizing in that moment.
Yeah, well, it was really heartbreaking because I was like, wait, what? This just happened to me? My mom's going to be with him now? Like, what? Like, my mom's actually really choosing him over me. And that was not the case whatsoever. Like, she was his widow, you know? And they did revive him because that guy did CPR on him, but he was brain dead. And so he was considered a John Doe. So, you know, you have to get all your ducks in a row. And then at this point, I'm being able to be released. And my sister actually comes in, and she's the first person I see because my other sister is yelling at the cops and telling them, how dare you guys not be able to let me see my sister? She needs me. And I fucking love her for that. Because like, she is fighting for me. And I literally, like, I see my sister, then I start to see everyone, and then I'm changing my clothes. And as I'm changing my clothes, I realize I have another stab wound.
Oh, my. That's when you see the one in your shoulder?
One in my chest.
Kind of in your chest area, yeah.
And because of the spot where it's at and everything, they're like, okay, let me check this out. And then they're like, okay, we need to bring you to the trauma unit, actually. And this hospital isn't equipped for that. So I then switch over to the trauma unit. And that's actually when it became even more traumatizing for me, because I went to the trauma unit and they start touching me and just making sure that I'm not stabbed anywhere. Sorry, it's just the hospital is the worst place for me to go to, but it was just re-traumatizing because there was no consent. I was being poked and prodded and everything.
And now a word from our sponsor. EasyPA is an integration-capable communication software that connects older building systems, such as signage and public address systems, to modern software technologies, such as panic alarms and mass notification systems. Additional features include built-in automated bell schedules, remote access, text-to-natural voice announcements, and custom audio playlists. EasyPA is one of the only full-service public address and communications companies that has in-depth knowledge on both the hardware and software aspects of communication and evacuation-based products. As a solution-based company, they offer design, supply, installation, and maintenance of all their products. And for use in schools, EasyPA software provides multi-zone capabilities, pre-scheduled daily announcements and bells, and a remote alert button that can be accessed from anywhere in the school. Once a panic alarm is triggered, law enforcement is notified immediately. EasyPA makes schools safer from any threat. Go to easypa.com. That's EZYPA.com to learn how to integrate your systems today. If you want to be a reseller or integrations partner, visit easypa.com to learn more. That's easypa.com.
Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this: tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal. Because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today.
I think you did an amazing job of fighting for yourself. Did you surprise yourself?
I don't know, to be honest, because like I felt like in moments like, oh, I'm feisty, I'm a badass, you know what I mean? But yeah. There's moments where I thought, no matter how much I hate this person, I never wish harm onto anyone else.
Right. Imagine that's something too, that you've had your share of counseling for it in one way or the other, which is important, you know, to work through however you choose to work through it, to work through the idea that you did something that isn't really in your nature to do.
Yeah, well, like I'm a person that will like contemplate hitting a spider sometimes. I'm like, should I just bring it outside so that I can live a good life?
I totally get that. You know, and the reason I mention it too is that a lot of times, you know, I talk to a lot of people about run, hide, fight. And so many people say, oh, I could never fight. You might not have thought you could do this, but you did it. Have you contemplated that?
Well, I don't know now, like if I'm in an attack or anything, I feel like I could do it again, even though I would never want to.
Right.
Like I've gone through therapy and part of that therapy is realizing that I did everything right in my attack. And how many people get to say that? And how many people get to come out like with a stab wound in the forearm and a stab wound in the chest that was not concerning to me? Like, you know, the stab wound in the chest, even though I went to the ICU unit, they did exploratory surgery on me to see if I was bleeding out. I was not bleeding out. Didn't hit any vital organs. I was in there for 2 days. And, you know, I like interview so many people on Survivor Squad and stuff. And mm-hmm. We just had a stabbing victim, Jane Borowski. And I like, she got stabbed so many times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of a blessing, but a curse for survivors is they survived. I've heard so many people say, but I survived, you know, survivor's guilt, right? To me, your story is very empowering. I haven't heard you tell this story before. I was careful not to do that and read about it. And you tell it in a very humble way. You were pushed into a position of taking a life to save your own. And you, even in that moment, you still clearly are very humbled by having to even explain it and talk about it. So, I mean, it's incredibly admirable.
Thank you. I really appreciate that comment because I do speak out about my trauma and because I am out there, there will be people that are like, oh my gosh, like you're just a straight up killer. And it really helps to hear that from you because those people are mostly people on the internet just saying random things to me where you actually have the knowledge, the education to say that to me. So thank you.
Tara, can I take you to your recovery? Because I know that since this has happened to you, you have, you know, taken this event in your life, the worst day of your life, and really turned it around and made it into something that you can bring power to so many people. And I know this because I've been an avid follower of the Survivor Squad, which is your new podcast. You're giving a platform to other survivors and sharing those stories. And there's just so much empowerment in those stories. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey to recovery and how the Survivor Squad became part of that?
Yeah, so I had to get to a place in my own journey where I could honestly take on other people's trauma because, you know, when the plane's going down, you have to put the mask on yourself first and then the mask on someone else. So, you know, even with Survivor Squad 2, we take different times to interview survivors. Like we're like, okay, we're in a great state now. We do these interviews. And then we realize when our emotional bandwidth gets a little too low, and then we're like, okay, we got to take a month off or we got to take a few weeks off because that's why we have episodes banked. But it's so helpful getting to know other survivors, getting to know their journey, because there's something that I felt for so long. I felt like I was the only one in my trauma. And that is just simply not true. There's other people that defended themselves in self-defense and even there's other people out there with crazy true crime stories, con artist stories, and we're all in it together because we're all on this healing journey and trauma is trauma.
I know that you are going to be at CrimeCon coming up and we're going to meet in person. And I can't tell you how excited I am because we've been talking for a while now. So I'm really excited to meet you there. Tell us where we can find all things Tara Newell and the Survivor Squad.
Well, I'm excited to see you there too. You can find me anywhere on all platforms. Tara Newell, TERRANEWELL. The only place where I'm different is Twitter. That's Tara _Newell. And you can find Survivor Squad anywhere where podcasts are available, the Survivor Squad podcast.
You also run yoga retreats, Tara. Tell us a little bit about where people can find you to connect and what they involve.
So my yoga retreats are all on my website, TaraNewellSurvival.com. They're very limited because I only like to take a small group of people and focus on their healing journey. Because also when I'm in it with you guys, I'm taking on all that energy and all that trauma. So I want to make sure I'm not like taking 10 people. Like this next retreat is only going to be 4 to 5 people, very inclusive, you know, and so I really enjoy it. And it's only for feminine energy, just because I have a lot of survivors that unfortunately are scared of men.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. All right. That website once again.
At TaraNewellSurvival.com. You guys can find all my retreats, all my information on TaraNewellSurvival.com.
Thank you so much for sharing.
We really appreciate the time, Tara.
And thank you just for like being empathetic and working with me. You know, I still live in my trauma sometimes, and there's days that are harder for me than others.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to know more, Catherine's book, Stop the Killing, is out now. For more details, go to catherineschweit.com. Please consider also supporting our independently made podcast. It's simple to do. Go to patreon.com/stopthekilling. And for as little as the price of a latte a month, you can be part of the solution to stop the killing. Patreon rewards range from official do-gooder status to ad-free episodes, autographed books, and opportunities to connect with us directly for your business, school, church, or even just a book club chat. But just knowing that you are part of a movement that has the power to make your community safer, well, that's got to taste better than a skinny cappuccino any day. So please head to patreon.com/stopthekilling now and polish off your do-gooder halo and make sure to include your name so we can give you a shout out. This podcast is a Conmunity podcast production. That's Con with an N. If you want more content, then head over to Conmunity Podcast at Instagram, where you'll find trailers on more binge-worthy true crime, like the award-winning podcast Conning the Con. And check out our show notes for all the links mentioned. Finally, if you want one takeaway action that you can do right now that can help make our community safer, please share, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. Everybody needs to know that they hold the keys to see something and say something. Together, we can stop the killing.
It's one of those things you hope never happens, but you better train for it because it will happen, and it will happen in places you wouldn't expect. Be ready for it.
Four hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks's lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth. that's what this was, a real life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris. And this is my story, Conning the Con.
The truth about the Haditha massacre has been covered up, but not anymore.
I know you know what happened.
They went into houses and killed women and children.
What are you thinking?
What a mess.
U.S. Marines murdered innocent civilians in cold blood.
And at the center of it all
is 25-year-old Sergeant Frank Wooderick.
And me. Murder in House 2. A new podcast from Crowd Network.